some environmental news now. Yesterday, the world's biggest polluter, China, said it would slow the rampant growth of its carbon emissions. And earlier, President Obama voiced his own proposal, a cut in U.S. greenhouse gas emissions in several stages, all in advance of the December Copenhagen meeting on climate change. And Matt McGraw, BBC environment correspondent, joins us now from London. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, John.
It appeared in the summer that this Copenhagen event wasn't going to be such a big deal. But all of a sudden, with China and the United States putting this really into a higher profile, Copenhagen seems to be a decisive meeting of world powers to discuss this preeminent global issue, climate change.
Yeah, it's certainly shaping up that way. I mean, I was at the previous talks in November in Barcelona, and the sense of doom and gloom that came about the concept of Copenhagen achieving anything at that point was very high. And everybody was thinking, you know, we're going to end up with nothing. It was going to be no legally binding agreement would come out of it. But in the last week, and particularly this week, there have been a lot of very significant developments that you've touched on. The announcement that President Obama was going to attend personally, that he was going to bring a target, or bring a number to the table, and the announcement by the Chinese as well. And if there's one thing that is going to move this thing forward, it's these what they call hard numbers coming from both the two biggest carbon polluters, if you like, in the world.
Now, it would seem that in the Cold War era, competing over the development of nuclear weapons was not good for the world. But if China and the U.S. actually are competing to outdo each other on climate change, that's really good for the developing industrial world, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's an enormous synergy between these two countries as well. And a part of this deal, apart from cutting back carbon, would be an exchange of technology between the richer countries like the United States and countries like China and India. And that's a very much a critical part of the deal. That would, you could imagine a scenario developing where the United States has got the ability to develop new ideas in solar and wind and whatever other areas, and a lot of the products are actually made in China as they currently are. So there's certainly a synergy between those two countries. And if it can be matched, if it can be put into a legal format, then yes, it would certainly move the world away from what scientists consider dangerous climate change.
Now, with China's announcement, what is the difference between China saying it's going to slow its growth of carbon emissions versus actually put it on a downside so that it's actually restricting and reducing its carbon emissions?
The critical thing about the Chinese announcement is that they're breaking the link between what their economic growth and their use of carbon. Up to now, the Chinese have been saying, look, we need to grow our people out of poverty. We need to build power stations. We need to dig up oil. We need to dig up all the elements that we need. We don't care how much of them we have to do. We need to make development the priority. Now they're saying we want to continue to develop, but we're going to put a brake on the amount of carbon we're going to put into that development. So they're saying our emissions will grow over the next 20, 30 years, certainly, but they will grow at a much less intense rate. We will be making bigger efforts to use less fuel, better fuel, renewable energy. They will be less intense in the amount of carbon they use in the production of their goods and services.
Let's do some numbers here, Matt. And I know that you spend all your time doing these sorts of things. The U.S. pledges 17% cut in emissions, okay? The EU has pledged about a 20% cut. Japan says 25%. Australia, 25%. At what point do these cuts, are they symbolic versus representing actually trying to develop an industry, a green industry that's capable of hitting these targets where you'd then generate jobs by reducing emissions?
I think it's trying to get everybody on the same playing field, which is one of the real hopes of Copenhagen. Part of the problem is that with what the United States have been announcing, what the Chinese have been announcing, they all start from different dates. Most of the countries in the world, the European Union amongst them, they take 1990 as their base year, and they say they want to cut their carbon emissions by 20% of 1990 levels by 2020, 30% if everybody signs up to it. The United States have mentioned 17%, but that's based on 2005. And in reality, compared to 1990, it's a 3 or 4% cut. But regardless of those differences, getting everybody on the same page, getting everybody to agree to something in terms of their actions and sign up to a legally binding agreement with measurable, reportable and verifiable actions within it, that is going to be the spark, those who believe in this, that this is going to be the spark that will generate those jobs, generate those industries, because everybody will be on a similar playing field. There'll be no major advantage for one country in terms of outdoing another in terms of the amount of carbon that they use. Everybody will be restricted in the same way.
So then the question really is, does the international community have the infrastructure to enforce something like this? Does the UN do the enforcement? Is it in the World Court? Do you even have the possibility of making this legally binding in some realistic way?
That's a real, real difficulty, and that's a really, really tough question to answer. The UN doesn't have the teeth, doesn't have the enforcement capability at the moment, and it's hard to imagine how they'll come up with something like that in 10 or 15 days' time. I mean, you know, the head of the UN climate group said, you know, that he wouldn't be arresting President Obama if they didn't meet their targets. But they do need to have some form of penalty, some form of punishment, if you like, to enforce the law. And that is the really difficult bit, and that is actually being recognised by the negotiators to say, look, we can't get this done by the end of December. We'll need another year to work out the legal implications of all this, but we need to get that political commitment by the middle of December that we will be doing this. And so that's what the plan is, a political deal in Copenhagen, a legally binding one by the end of next year, possibly at a meeting in Mexico.
And Matt McGraw, I mean, it bears mentioning that Obama is under a little pressure here. He's on his way to pick up his Nobel Prize. I mean, he can't be seen as falling down on the climate change issue on his way to collect that prize, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he's only coming for the one day, and he said he's just going to, it's a stopover, if you like. It's symbolic more than anything else. He's not going to be there when the other 65 leaders have committed to be there. He's not going to be there at the same time to do any real hard bargaining with them. But it's given the process a major boost, and the fact that his presence alone and the fact that he's bringing an actual number has really turned this around in some ways.
All right, finally, before we go, under a minute here, a cap and trade, the whole issue of carbon trading as a way of enforcing emissions cuts. The House of Representatives is poised to actually take a look at this issue. And there's a lot of sense that, you know, compared to a year ago, there's a lot more skepticism about whether cap and trade can actually pull something like this off. What do you think, Matt?
Cap and trade is a very difficult issue. It's we've got something similar in the European Union. It's stuttered, but it seems to be working. But it's a very, very, very difficult situation. A lot depends on how you can offset those carbon trades.
Right.
It's a very, very difficult one, and not a simple solution as many put forward.
Well, Matt McGraw will be there, BBC Environment Correspondent, talking about the upcoming Copenhagen Conference on Climate Change. The president will attend.